Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Welcome back. We're here at Explain the Prophetic. And I want to start with something today that I think you're going to feel deep down. Our generation has been through a lot. Divisions, disasters, cultural wars, whiplash from politics. We've been through terrorism, constant headlines that make us feel unsettled. And it's like a wave after wave over cataclysmic events. And yet there's been hope. God's been using this shaking to grow something in his people that only can be formed by this kind of pressure. We're in a unique pressure cooker that I don't think another generation since a big world war has been in. For some of you, there's seeds of destiny and character that I know God's planted deep in there. He's planted in the dark, and they're about to break the surface finally. You're going to see something and go, oh, that's what you're growing in me, God. And they're about to bear fruit in a way that only God could do. It's going to change the way you live your life, but it's also going to change the world around you, through you. So I can't promise the world's going to get easier, but I can promise this. If you could catch a glimpse of what God's calling you to in this hour, it would shift your expectation completely, and you'd move from nervous faith to rooted faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today, how to thrive in the middle of cultural shakeups. So before we get there, I do want to tell you we have a new class coming up where I get to be your coach in hearing God's voice for yourself and like the words he gives you, the direction he gives you, the things he's telling you to do, but also for other people. When you have a word to speak over someone, like, how do you do that well? Well, we're going to have practical teaching, thank God. But also, I'm going to do a hands-on approach where we're going to practice some things with everybody in the classroom on Zoom, on virtual classrooms. We've done this many, many times. And I watch people grow in front of my own eyes, because you go from like, I think this is God, maybe this is God, to saying, oh, wait, I really know how to partner my faith for what's God in this. And it's so good. It's so great. And you can usually only get this kind of experience by trying. And when you're trying in a safe environment where it's not about the information being right or wrong, but it's about learning and growing in your faith towards Jesus, it helps so much. So come join us. It starts the first week of October, every Tuesday night for 4 weeks. It's going to change your life. I know it's going to be so good. Just go to bowlesministries.com and click on the prophetic coaching class, and you're going to love it. Also, you can join the whole spiritual mentoring growth community, which is a great community to grow in the things of the spirit. If you need someplace to grow, it's super safe, super biblical. Okay, let's get into this. And we got to face it. This generation has had what I call PTSD, you know, from the amount of division and disasters where I just talked about cultural wars. And that whiplash from politics, even in this last season, has been so intense. I mean, seeing terrorism in different countries right now, there's been so many types of shootings and killings and things that have happened that some of us are just fatigued. We're like, and that's part of PTSD, is you get event fatigued, and you can't even respond in your empathy and your compassion because it's been too much all at once. And it seems like every other week we're seeing a new headline, if not every week. And here's what I believe: in the middle of all of this, God's doing something so unique inside of you, and he's setting a stage. And the chaos around us, I mean, people are exhausted, of course, by the bad news. We're divided in so many ways, and there's cultural hostility, especially towards Christians. But scripture obviously reminds us that God often births his best work in seasons of shaking. Now, I mean, I hate shaking seasons, and I've been through a lot of shaking over the last few years. It's been wild to see the amount of shaking. But in the midst of that, I've watched something of prioritizing that's happening with myself and my wife, with my whole family, with our ministry, where we're prioritizing what God is doing and what's really important. Things that used to be important, things that used to be central, things that might even have been a part of my ego are just gone. God stripped them away because he's shaking something that only he can last after. Like, if I'm going to participate with my faith and my spirituality right now towards Jesus Christ, I'm going to be stripped. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to pick up my cross. I'm going to follow him in ways that are very real and authentic. And there's pain in that. There's grief and suffering sometimes in following Jesus that we don't always talk about. I love Hebrews 12, 26 through 28. It says, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that only the unshakable remain. And some of you are in that season where God's planted something inside of you. You're about to bear fruit, but man, he shook you. Maybe you're still in the shaking. And I think of John 16, 33, and it says, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And some of you are looking at the world with trouble, and you're like, where do we go? And you just have to look at Jesus, because he's overcome the world's trouble. But there's something growing inside of you. Even though the pressure has been intense, something's been germinating underground in you, in your life, in your spirit, or your sphere of influence, in your spirit. And that hidden seed that maybe only you and God and a few others can see is going to break to the surface. And some of you, it's not a hidden seed, it's a hidden tree. It's a tree that no one's recognized what kind of fruit's going to be on that, but you're going to bear fruit. And I think of so many things that have happened over the last season. Of course, we have Charlie Kirk, and his memorial just happened, you know, a week ago today, for those of you who are watching this on Sunday. And I think about how Charlie was only 31 years old. Jesus was only 34 when he passed away, or 33 and a half, 34, depends on what biblical scholar you talked about or talked to. But it's like you look at these lives that were cut short, and you never know with Charlie Kirk that he was going to inspire. He inspired so much on the earth for conservatives and for Christians who are in conservative values. But now he's inspiring a movement where even the White House put on their Instagram page that we're in a revival. And there's something about our country and our nation where there's been more reading of the Bible and the word in the last 12 months to 24 months than there had been for 10 years before that, especially with Generation Z who are picking up their Bibles. There's all these mass baptisms. There's all these, you know, calls to prayer, calls to action. I mean, Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization, has over 120,000 people are asking to start a chapter or to be involved with the leadership of a chapter. That's huge numbers. So things are shifting right now in our generation. At the same time, it's been one of the hardest times. And I feel like to do good and to stay positive and stay focused on what God's doing, you've had a war for your discernment to stay clean, for your eyes to stay on the goal, which is Jesus. I know my wife was talking about how she was doing a social media fast, and she goes, man, I'm a productive person, which she is. She gets so much done. But she goes, I mean, the level of productivity, the level of noise that was gone from just not checking it several times a day when I was doing my other checks for other things I check, just not to be a part of this, a lot of conversations, a lot of thoughts, a lot of pullaways from attention. It was wild. And I think of how a lot of us need to be so much more narrow in our focus so that we can focus so intensely on what God is doing in our lives and how to partner our faith to that. And that way we can do Galatians 6:9, where it says, don't grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you're going to reap a harvest if you don't give up. And I think we have that tenacity in this generation. I think there's people who are staying the course, people who are repenting quick if they fail, people who are building skills and tools that have never been built inside the church before, let alone humanity, like AI and technology and some of the things that are going to be master tools in the great worldwide harvest that releases the rapture, the end times, or whatever you believe about the end times, Jesus returning. And your calling is being sharpened by the very tension of this moment. And it's hard. I know it's hard, but you have to realize that Jesus is proud of you. The Father's proud of you. God is saying, don't give up, but actually press in. And we got to go from nervous faith to rooted faith. And many of us are living in nervous faith where we're constantly checking the world around us to see if things are stable enough to really have the hope to do the thing we feel called to. I've talked to many believers over the last few months, and one conversation that keeps repeating itself is like, I don't know where the economy is going to go. I don't know if I should start this business, or if I should start this project, or if I should launch this, you know, creative thing or whatever it is. And I'm like, don't look at the world around you, because the world will always send the wrong signals. Look at heaven and see the signals that God's sending you. Look for what he's put inside of you to find a way where there is no way, because it's who God is. And so many of us are looking around us, and so it's become like a nervous, like, I want to do this, but I'm not sure, as opposed to rooting ourselves. And what does God say we should do? And who does God say we are? And God is inviting us in that rooted faith and anchored not in headlines, but in his unchanging nature. And I think of Psalm 1:3, it says, the one who delights in the law of the Lord is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season when the leaf does not wither. And that's an example of those who are planted by the river of God in Revelation, the book of Revelation, where we're going to end that way, where we're going to bear fruit all the time. We will never not bear fruit again. And so I think there's those seasons where we have winters now. I don't know if we'll have winter in heaven. I don't think we will have a traditional winter in heaven where things die. And I think the ecosystem will be different there, you know. But we have these examples of seasons on the earth. And many of us are in that winter, or we're maybe just past fall and winter, and you're in that spring, right at the end of winter where the springtime's coming, where the thing that's inside of you comes alive. And I know it's hard to feel rooted in times like we're in, but Colossians 2:6-7 says that we can be rooted and built up in Christ. It's the only way. It's the only way to actually survive the cultural chaos that's going on, is to actually get so rooted in Jesus and so rooted in who he is, what he's doing in your life, what he's doing in the headlines that matter to the kingdom, what he's doing in the places of faith. So many of us get cause-oriented, and so we only have faith and confidence and hope as long as our cause is being seen or connected to. And I've watched a lot of cause Christians where maybe it's human trafficking or racism, or maybe it's something about, you know, world hunger or whatever it is. And all those things are so precious and so real, but they're not central. the only center to the gospel. They're all the systemic of, if we don't have the kingdom inside of us living correctly, then we have those issues on the earth. But man, if we can just focus on who Jesus is and then look at causes secondarily, still look at them with a priority, but secondarily, and we start to get rooted and hopeful in what Jesus is doing, regardless of the cause we're looking, because some causes, I mean, think about slavery was around, and we have more slaves on the earth right now, supposedly, according to sociology, than there was in all of history put together. So slavery has been around forever. Prostitution has been around forever. All these things that are injustices, children at risk have been around forever. We don't deny those things and we don't stop looking at those things. But when we look at Jesus, even when we get bad headlines in those areas, we're still rooted. We're still in the cause of Christ before we're in the cause of something else. And so I think some people who are cause-driven are shaken very easily by how they get upset when the cause doesn't go well on the earth in their vantage point of what they can see and not see. And yet Jesus looks at all that's happening on the earth, all the injustices, and he never takes his eyes off of them. And he has a plan that he paid a price for called the cross, and to redeem all things. And I think we have to step into that nature of Jesus where it's like, you're going to redeem everything, even if I don't see it fully in my lifetime. And so I don't have to be a Messiah complex cause Christian. I can actually look at you and believe you're going to resolve things. And then some of us are in a place where it's like, if our well-being as far as financially or politically or relationally isn't an A+, then we feel like we're not thriving. But we need to learn how to thrive even when there's areas that are being shaken right now, and say, you know, my thriving doesn't come from the stability financially or the stability of my relationships, although those are important. Of course, they're secondary, but they're important. My thriving comes when I can actually be rooted and grounded in my identity in Christ. So these are the kinds of things that I think God's putting in people. Identity was one of the biggest teachings that came out from 2000 to 2015 or so. There was like every church movement seemed like they talked about spiritual identity, because so many of us were in performance and trying to work for God and do things for Christ instead of with Christ. And we didn't understand our identity. And so that's been somewhat taught into and discipled in a whole generation. So as people are coming to Christ, they're coming into Christ for the sake of relationship and authenticity and intimacy. And so that's this next move of God that we're coming into, is out of that place of identity. Can we see the world change? Can we see the kingdom advance? Can we see God do something where we're not trying to escape culture, but we're called to transform it? And I think the shaking is not here to destroy you, of course. And sometimes we feel destroyed by the shaking because something that we love disappears, or there's casualties in these bad spiritual battles. But God wants to reveal what can't be shaken to you. It's just so important that we go through those seasons. And Job went through it. I think of Job, where he went through from the beginning, was a righteous man. And in the end, 42 chapters later, goes through that place where it's like, you are really who you say you are, God. You are good. Even through all those shakings, 42 chapters of shakings. No, thank you. I didn't sign up for that. I hope this isn't my Job. You're right. That's how we feel. But we've all been through something that's been really hard collectively, and let alone individually. And the very things that the enemy is trying to use to paralyze you and paralyze this culture are the things that God's using to position you. I think of Joseph and his slavery. It's like, those are the worst experiences of his life. The people who loved him, or were supposed to love him the most, were going to kill him, but then they decided to just throw him in a pit where he was sold into slavery. And that was not a good day in Joseph's calendar. You know, that was a hard time. But when you look at what happened in the end, when you look at how God intended to use everything that was meant for evil against Joseph, for the glory of not only Joseph's life, not only for the Israelites, but for the world in that stage, humanity, at least culture as we know it, with Egypt and all the different groups that were known and culture and societies at the time, were going to fail because of the famine that was coming. And God used Joseph. And in Romans 8:28, of course, he used all things to work for good for those who loved him. And I think that we forget those things sometimes. I think we got to ask God, you know, what have you been growing in me that's ready to surface? Like, we have to be hopeful in our prayers, like, not like, Lord, it's so hard, but actually saying, God, in this hardness, hard pressed, but not crushed, you know, persecuted, but not abandoned, and struck down, but not destroyed, these kinds of things. You know, it's like, how do we get to a place where we pray out of but what are you building, God? What are you doing that I can't see? What are you doing that culture is going to answer some of these issues, these sinful issues in culture, these things that are happening? You know, when you see the failures that are happening all around, what is Jesus doing? Where is Jesus at? And I think even journaling and looking at how God's, and I know I encourage you, those of you who were here last week, to journal, but where the shaking has refined you, like actually like quantifying it and saying, God, here's where I've shaken. What have you done in that shaking? Well, here's what I see that's different in me. And I've been able to do that. I've been able to do that over the last couple of years of like, wow, you know, going from some of the things we've walked out of and relationships that have separated and things that have happened, just looking at what God's done and looking at what he has purged, what he's purified in both me and also the atmosphere around us. And also what needed to go, what I needed to get rid of, and what I needed to say no to. And I think we got to declare, you know, maybe daily, I'm not just going to survive in this time, but I'm going to thrive in it. There has to be a step inside of us that we say, okay, I'm not just going to be swayed by culture. I'm not going to be a reed in the wind that's easily bent or broken, but I'm going to be rooted and grounded in foundational truth with Jesus. And I think when you make that decision in your heart and you actually follow it through with a life in the Word and a life of prayer and looking for what God's doing, it's going to change everything. And some of you are already there. Some of you have been, even in the midst of shaking, it's been like you've shaken so hard, you can't believe you're still standing. Some of you are like, you might give up too easy. You might need to build some grit, because Jesus shook to the point where he went to the cross for us. And yet he considered us worthy of that. And I just think sometimes, you know, I look at the circumstances around me and I think of like Paul, where it's like, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but it's Christ who lives within me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's something about Galatians 2:20, these scriptures that you learn, and, you know, when you're in Sunday school, then in Bible times and in church services, and then in your own time in the Word, that you finally stand on in these times of shaking like we're going through right now. So somebody, I want to pray for you, because you need mercy in the midst of shaking. It's been hard. I mean, you can't tell someone like Erica Kirk, you know, you're just being shaken. It's like it's deeper than that. Her husband just passed away. She has kids to raise. She has a world around her that's looking to her for a turning point. So like some of you are going through something where it's like something evil has happened to you. It's not just an easy phrase of like, just root yourself in Christ. So you've gone through something that's going to take a work and an act of God, but wait for it. He's going to come. Wait for it. He's going to do what looks impossible. Wait for it in the areas inside of you that feel like I'm divinely undone by the warfare, the spiritual battle that I've been in. Only Jesus could set you free to be divinely who you are now, because you've had a hit that and a loss or a shaking that is unexplainable, unimaginable. And even when you share it with other people, there's no blanket wisdom statement that could just make you feel okay. And you're not supposed to just feel okay. You're supposed to allow this to build the deeper testimony of what God can do and what God will do. And though sometimes we're broken, and though we go through really hard things, on the other end of it, we see how good God is. And you're about to see how good God is and how beautiful God is. And I pray over you right now, those of you who maybe the shaking has been so hard that you felt like part of you even fainted, not all of you, but you felt like maybe you're in the nervous faith, or you're in the place where it's like, I love you, Jesus, but I'm kind of peacing out for the big scenarios that are happening right now. And I want to pray for you, Holy Spirit, would you just allow us to engage our faith with you? Maybe it's okay that we're like turning our eyes off of the cultural mess that's around us, but God, we fix our eyes and affections on you. And God, we want to know you in a way that in this season where there's trauma and they're around every bend, where there's a new natural disaster, a new person killed, a new crime to be reported, a new political division, every week in the news headlines and social media headlines, Jesus, you are unchanging in your nature, and you're looking at the world and you're not afraid. You're looking at the world of what you want to do. And you're like a king chess man who has the enemy in check. You already know the plan moves that you have to bring this whole thing into full justice. But God, we don't always see that, and we can't see that unless we live a life of faith. So help us to press into our faith right now. Help us to press into believing that you are Jesus, who you say you are. Help us to press into more reality of you, God. There's always a deeper in you. Lord, maybe we need that next level of depth. Maybe we need to even cry out for that next level of depth, God, where it's like what we have just isn't enough to sustain us for where we're at in our lives. So God, give us that cry that says more, Lord. Give us that cry that says we need more of you, Jesus. And Lord, then meet that cry. We know you're going to meet it with an encounter. Right now, I feel like there's a visitation on the earth, even like looking at what's happened over the last couple of weeks. People are coming to church. People are reading their Bibles. People are looking and contending in faith. They're looking at culture and they're saying, I can't do this anymore. And they're looking with eyes that says, is there a God who cares? Is there a God who loves? Well, you know there is. And I pray that God would just awaken and enlighten you even more to know Jesus. And that you would be in the midst of all the shaking, that you would see that something that's inside of you that's been shaken away, that there's a rootedness and a stability in something that wasn't shaken because it's from God. And he's about to manifest it, and he's about to position you in your place of culture. I think a little bit about Forrest Frank, and I remember being in a meeting with this pastor not too long ago. I think it was just last year, actually. And it might have been the beginning of this year. It was the beginning of this year. And his pastor was just sharing a little bit of Forrest Frank's story. Now, many of you know Forrest Frank is a worship leader, pop artist, who's been billboarding for Christian music on secular billboards but he was pursuing music and it just wasn't working well. He was pursuing kind of a secular career. It wasn't working well for him, and he wasn't happy in it from what his pastor said. And then he gave it up and he just kind of fasted that and just said, like, I'm just going to walk with you, God. And God gave him some strategies and ideas on social media and some music projects that weren't owned by a label. And he started to do some things that were kind of counterculture and different. And he blew up on social media. And then he became a voice for a lot of people who weren't listening to the CCM type, you know, Christian music radio station stuff, but we're looking for something that was different. That wasn't just the CGD chords and church, but was looking for something that was spoke more their language of where we're at right now. And they found it in Forrest. And I just think about how Forrest was divinely placed. He was taken out of an industry that he couldn't serve the way he was positioned and brought back in through a different door that didn't even really exist for anybody else yet. Like, no other Christian musician had come that strongly. Maybe JVKE, Jake, who's doing, you know, he's a Christian pastor's son who's doing some secular mainstream music and he's blown up through social media. But Forrest on a whole nother level, and they've collaborated together on a whole nother level, has God brought him through a different door. And now, you know, he's billboarded the last 2 months and had that healing of his back that we've talked about on the our commentary show, where he broke his back and God healed him and showed the x-rays and told the story, and culture looked, because the songs that he wrote out of that broken back are the ones that billboarded. And I think that God's doing something with some of you where it's like, maybe you had to come out of a door that was like, it felt like so important and so obvious the way that everybody goes through to get the results you were looking for in your career, a ministry, a project, whatever it was. And it didn't work, or you had to come out of it, but still can bring you in his way. God has all kinds of ways to establish his purpose in your life. And lots of times he likes to use ways that are untethered from normal, because he wants to so get glory from it. And so some of you might be in that place, and I pray over you that you'd have the faith to endure, even where Forrest talked about a quiet season he went into during that time, quiet years, not just days, years that he went into as God was building something different. I pray that God will give you the grace to finish these years or this time where maybe it's quiet and you can't do traditional and it's not working. What's working for everybody else isn't working for you, because God wants to get the glory out of it and he wants to do it differently. And I pray that God will give you the faith, the secure rooted faith, that he's big enough to do it, and that this is his passion before it's your passion, and that what he wants to do in your life is his treasure before it's your treasure. And I pray that God would give you that confidence that he's a father who's building something, in Jesus' name. Well, if you're here, you're not here by accident. God trusted you to live in this generation, and he placed you with the capacity to thrive in cultural shakeups. He really did. So don't let nervous faith, you know, rule your life, but let him root you in his unshakable kingdom Let him root you in his unshakable kingdom. And if this podcast encouraged you, share it with someone. You know, somebody needs hope. Somebody needs to hear the same thing. Somebody's going through a shaking. Also, you can join our Spiritual Growth Academy this month. Again, the class is all about, you know, me being a coach to you to help you hear from God for yourself and hear from God for the world around you. And if you like what we're doing here, we're taking a virtual offering. This is one way to sow into the word, if it's really registered with you, or to sow into our ministry, by going to donate.bowlsministries.com or bowlsministries.com/give. It's B-O-L-Z for those of you who are listening on podcasts. And your partnership helps to release prophetic hope around the world. I want to encourage you, if this word's for you, make sure to say my turn. Tell us what to pray for. We want to pray for you, because it helps to have the support of other Christians in your life, even if it's on a podcast or a YouTube or a Facebook post, to have someone say, I'm praying for you, and actually pray. We pray for you. And so just leave a one line of what you need prayer for, and we're praying for you each and every day over those lines that you leave on our social media. Well, until next time, stay rooted, stay hopeful, and thrive in the middle of the shakeups. You can do it.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.shawnbowlz.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or shawnbowlz.com and click on mentoring community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.